The 383rd edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! You're on the way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout,
technical
they're out
foul.
Of timeout! Technical foul! Technical foul on Michigan! They're out of timeout!
Front court, Williams on the drive, gets it back out to hit, long outside shot, short, rebounded! It's over! Carolina has won the national championship!
89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champion.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it! The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champion.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school. I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, hanging out with you guys on a Friday night. More transfer portal news for Carolina. We're here to talk about it after getting a lot of activity in the front court. Carolina has turned their attention to the back court to potentially add to the roster for the upcoming season. We'll tell you who that player is, what that player could bring, and what it means on the surface for R.J. Davis's impending decision to come back for his fifth season or move on to play professional basketball. We're also going to talk about another big that's in the portal that Carolina hasn't gotten involved with, but we'll talk about should they get involved with him based off of a past relationship with him, and then talk about the reaction to the article I put up today on our website, that's HeelToughBlog.com, about Jalen Washington's future and this idea that he could play the four spot. We'll talk about that as well. Busy show as we're here with you live on a Friday night. We'll start every edition of the pod as we always do. Pod thought of the day. We go to the great Bambino, maybe one of the greatest home run hitters all time in baseball, and a fantastic quote and one that replies to Anthony and I in our dating lives and Carolina and this staff in the transfer portal. And that pod thought is, quote, never let the fear of striking out get in your way. And, you know, look, there are going to be guys that Carolina puts a lot of time and effort into recruiting in the portal this offseason that they aren't going to get for one reason or another. They're going to go to other programs because of a better opportunity, or NIL, whatever the situation is. But that shouldn't stand in the way of how aggressive you are. And if there's one thing I can say about the start to this transfer portal cycle, and Carolina was a little delayed because they were not actively recruiting transfers while they were in the NCAA tournament. Man, this staff's been everything but aggressive. And it feels like they're going full throttle, all out to get the kind of players that you want, the kind of players that you need to reload and put your roster in a position to duplicate your regular season success and have a deeper run into the NCAA tournament. And so, you know, seeing the transfer portal is always a process. It's got to play itself out. But I think the one thing Carolina has done this offseason is put themselves in the best position possible to get a number of high-quality transfers to put together or to give themselves a chance to field a roster that can compete for a national championship next season.
Yeah, I mean, this is the strategy that we felt like this coaching staff would probably take. And I mean, my thing is, yeah, I mean, you can't be afraid to strike out, as you said there. I got to be honest, it doesn't really compare to us because, yeah, for us, that's probably the smart thing to say. But for Carolina, I mean, they're the dude that is a model that is single. He also works an executive job and makes over $200,000 a year and lives in a luxury apartment in Manhattan. So it's a little bit different than us. Like Carolina, I mean, look, there may be certain guys that don't want to come to Carolina, but it's going to be rare, especially with the success that Carolina has had recently and the fact that there are going to be spots open on this roster. So I find it hard to believe that anybody that Carolina contacts, Carolina is also very strategic with the guys that they reach out to. They're not going to reach out to somebody that they don't feel like they have a realistic shot at, or, you know, they're not the type of school that's just going to offer a bunch of different guys and see what sticks. That's not really how it works. All these guys that they're in contact with, they are legitimately interested in. And the thing is that they haven't really officially offered anybody. They only have one visit that's set up. Getting into contact with somebody could simply just reaching out and asking if they're remotely interested. Or, I mean, it's so subjective that you don't really know what exactly the lengths are that Carolina has gone to with each guy. So, I mean, I think Carolina is in a really good spot to sort of pick and choose what they want. It's the reason why they're involved with the top players in the portal. And it's a reason why you should probably feel pretty confident that this is a roster that can be built pretty quickly for Carolina once they start landing guys and can be one that could be built to be one of the best teams in the country next season.
Yeah, and look, when the transfer portal became kind of the way to build your roster, along with the arrival of NIL, everyone wondered, like, what was that going to do to the Blue Bloods? And look, there's no doubt about it. Has it leveled the playing field, and is there more parity in the sport? Yes. And I think that's why even for old-school traditionalists like me, I've come around to embracing the portal because I think it's made the sport better. From the NIL perspective, I don't think Carolina flaunts their NIL the way that Arkansas did earlier this week when they made it known how much money is being made available to their guys. But Carolina also isn't hurting in that department either. Like, these guys that they're going after that are very much aware of what their value is, Carolina knows what their value is. And they're going into these recruiting these recruiting visits or these Zooms and these meetings – telling them that, you know, what you're looking for, you can find here too. They just may not publicize it the way that other programs do. And so not that I was ever worried about it, but a lot of people thought, would Carolina be too stuck in their ways and rest on their laurels of the past 60 years? No, they understand what you got to do in today's climate to get the talent that we all want. And it's nice to see that that financial commitment is there, and it's why you've been able to get a Brady Manning to Carolina, a Cormac Ryan to Carolina, a Harrison Ingram to Carolina, and maybe this year a guy like, you know, Omar Ballo or someone else, you know, that magnitude of a transfer into Chapel Hill. Let's now get into why we're here tonight, which is to talk about the latest guy that Carolina has gotten involved with and is showing interest with. As we mentioned, to open up the show, that yesterday it was a bunch of big men that Carolina has gotten involved with as they're looking to replace the presence of Armando Bacot. And now they've moved to the backcourt in the form of Jordan Pope, the guard from Oregon State, who last year averaged over 17 points per game, 2.6 rebounds, 3.4 assists, was not a member of either first or second All Pac-12 team, despite putting up those types of numbers. Was a All Pac-12 freshman when he averaged over 12 points per game, over 2 rebounds, and over 2 assists per game. He's the number 10 point guard in the transfer portal and the number 43 overall player in the transfer portal, according to 24/7 Sports. This was a guy that was kind of rumored that was going to be on Carolina's radar. You know, we don't know exactly when Carolina got involved with him. He entered the portal back earlier this month, but, you know, it's easy to see from his 2 years in Corvallis, the production that he's put together, it's easy to see why Carolina is interested and involved with maybe bringing Jordan Pope to North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely evident just based off the stats. But when you watch him, he's a guy that can create his own scoring. He grew, you know, exponentially from his freshman season, where he was an all-freshman player in the Pac-12. He was a guy that, I mean, he averaged 17.6 a game last year, 3.4 assists, and somehow he was not a all Pac-12 member. They have two teams. They also do it very weirdly. Their first team has like 10 players on it. Very odd, their release that they put out when I was reading through it. And he had to settle for honorable mention. Now, part of it was probably because his team was just terrible that he was on. But he did some really good things. I mean, he had a huge game against Arizona. So he's a guy that I think if Carolina needs a guy that can be a lead scorer for them, or if they feel like they need a secondary scorer in the backcourt that can put up some really good numbers and create on his own, this is your guy. And he can do it from all over. I mean, he shot the ball very well overall, over 45%. Shot the ball well from three, 37%, and he attempts over five a game. So it's at a pretty good clip, and shoots free throws at a great rate. I mean, 87.9%, just shy of 88%. Is really freaking good. So this is a guy that it's understandable why Carolina is interested in him. And I think, you know, their interest level, it's important for people to realize what this means. Look at the time period that he entered the portal. This report came from a guy in Tobias Bass, who covers college basketball for The Athletic. And it's basically very similar what he did to, if you've seen the stuff that's come out from the Portal Report, which is another website that keeps track of all the transfers. It's literally just listing who has been in contact with him at all. And from all indications of what I've seen, he has been contacted by Carolina once. And this could mean that when he entered the transfer portal, Carolina contacted him. It could mean that a couple of days after he entered, when Carolina was still waiting on the decision from RJ Davis, they ended up reaching out to him just to gauge possible interest in case Carolina needed him because RJ Davis was leaving. I don't think that this is something that Carolina fans should be overreacting to, because it feels like a lot of people are jumping to conclusions on what this could mean about RJ Davis. I think this is just Carolina expressing general interest in a guy just in case RJ Davis leaves, or to potentially even play alongside RJ Davis if they feel like he's a guy that, you know, can help them out that much in the backcourt. I think this would be, you know, potentially, if you can figure out a way where he's listed as a point guard. If you feel like he's a guy that can play the point better than Elia Cadeau can and can score at a high level, and you have two of the best in the backcourt, I don't know, Carolina might be interested in that.
Well, you know, look, Hubert Davis has openly talked about his desire to play with two point guards. You know, we've seen three guard lineups during his time at Carolina. You know, of course, you saw a backcourt that RJ shared with Caleb Love. This could be a guy that if RJ were to come back, they just naturally fit better and they can share the backcourt together. Because the one thing that Carolina's backcourt didn't have last year was two scorers that scared you. And we saw that become a problem in the Alabama game, where they dared Elia Cadeau to shoot to the point where Hubert Davis didn't feel like they could play him in the second half of what would end up being a season-ending defeat. And so, you know, like, look, on the surface, we're going to look at this move and think, what does this mean for RJ Davis. I think, you know, we don't have an update. We expect RJ to go through the NBA draft process. That's going to happen. I think legitimately the feedback he gets ultimately decides what he ends up doing. Yep. If he goes through it and he's being told he's still not, you know, on the draft boards, or he's going to be in the late 40s or in the 50s, he might just come on and come back to school. But with as weak as this class is, if he finds himself maybe moving up into the middle of the second round after the season he had this year, you know, he might just go ahead and call it a career at Carolina. But again, that's still all speculation. And so we don't know how serious this move or how serious the interest is. You know, on the surface with the production, you'd like for it to be legitimate interest because he produced at a high level on a pretty bad basketball team. And I think another thing you got to take into consideration is this a move in response to Seth Trimble leaving? Like, does Trimble leaving open the door for him, for Carolina to get more involved with him? And so I look at this move and I didn't look at it and say, oh, yeah, Carolina's involved with him. That means RJ's leaving. I think this was an all options are on the table type of move. We could play you with RJ. You could be a replacement for RJ, or maybe with Seth Trimble gone, maybe you're looking to find a way to, you know, build to your roster and upgrade your roster, and he'd be a scoring upgrade over Trimble. So, you know, I think this is a guy that, while we don't know how serious Carolina is involved with him, they should be optimistic about why Carolina is interested in him, because it could be positive in a multitude of different ways.
Well, and now I will say this. One of the things to consider that they really have to think about is you said that they didn't have another scoring option in the backcourt this past year beside RJ Davis, a consistent scoring option. And yes, that's true. The concern with a guy like this, though, is what is the mindset that he's bringing with him? And it's not anything, you know, attacking the kid or anything like that, like it sounds. This is a dude that's coming from a school at Oregon State where he was the best player on the team both years. He had no choice but to take over and score the basketball. Is he going to come to Carolina and bring that same mindset, thinking that's what the type of player that he has to be? We've seen other guys that have settled into their roles where they may have had a bigger role on a previous team, a la Harrison Ingram, and they've learned how to adjust and play into the system and allow other guys to shine. But there's no guarantee that a guy like Jordan Pope can do that. And then you run into the situation that you had back in 2021, 2022, when Carolina was struggling to balance Caleb Love and RJ. So I think that is one of the things that is interesting about this and that you would really have to think about, because RJ would then be the guy that's playing off ball, though he was basically that again this year. And I think at this point I think he's figured out that's where he's best. But you do wonder, a guy that would take the ball out of his hands a little bit more, what does he think of that? Ultimately, I think you would have to show him that if you have a consistent scoring option next to you, then you can't really worry about that, because this is what's probably going to give us the best chance to win this season, especially if he's already told them, look, I'm going to go through the NBA draft process. I know there's a good chance that I won't be drafted, or that, you know, I'll be a late second round guy, and I think that I can come back and help myself or whatever. So I'm ultimately going to come back. And I would tell him, look, this would be a guy that can take us over the top and get you a championship, which is the reason that you're coming back to college. So I think it's something that Carolina, you know, they have to be interested in. And this is the thing, is it looks like they are strategically picking these guys out. because he's the only guy of this mold that Carolina has offered. Everybody else is either a big guy or Cade Tyson, who is a stretch or who is a wing player that Carolina is going to need anyways, and that can shoot the three ball as well as anybody in the country. So this is the first time we're seeing them go after a guy like this. If we were seeing more guys getting offered, if there were a bunch of the top combo guards or point guards in the that Carolina was offering in the portal, then you could start to say, well, this is probably pointing to the fact that RJ is not coming back. So, yeah, for now, I think it's really just about them trying to piece together the best roster like we talked about last night. You got to do it every year. Like, yeah, there's guys that you like on your roster, but if there's somebody that you think can be better and can get you closer to winning a championship, especially at a blue blood like Carolina, you got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think and I don't want this to sound dismissive. I think a guy from Oregon State would understand when he winds up, if he arrives in Chapel Hill, you're not going to be the guy, and you're not going to be the most talented basketball player. And Hubert Davis has talked a lot about the we and not about the me. And I feel like that's just going to be something that will be made very clear that, you know, if he doesn't fit, then Carolina's not going to bring him in, even though he can put the ball in the basket. In terms of potentially playing with RJ, you're right. I think RJ a lot more comfortable this year playing off the ball, mainly because he knew when he gave the ball up, it was still going to find his hands. Was it the same case when Caleb Love was on the roster, where when the ball went to Caleb Love's hands, no one else would touch it because he was chucking it from 30 feet? So, and look, when the games got close or when it was a big possession, the ball was in RJ's hand. So I, as much as there was that whole to-do about it a few years ago in that Brennan Marks article, I think RJ proved this year he can adjust and be a guy that can be a high-profile player without having to dominate the ball for the entire possession. So I think it's very intriguing. I think this is – you're right. This could be a move that – Carolina is looking to maybe sell RJ to come back and say, we went and got you some more backcourt help. This might be the missing piece to a championship run. It also could be insurance in case Ingram decides to go pro and ends up – or not, or if Davis ends up going pro and Carolina has to fill that production. It's not going to be easy to replace the ACC Player of the Year, but with the transfer portal – that is on the table. Then, of course, you got to take into account the arrival of Ian Jackson and what he can bring to this roster as well. So a very fluid situation. But, again, like how aggressive Carolina's being, this is a move in terms of from an interest standpoint that does make sense. When we come back, we'll talk about another big man that's entered the transfer portal, one that Carolina has not gotten involved in just yet, but we'll talk about should Carolina get involved with him and what he could potentially add to the roster. And also, we'll talk about the response to my Jalen Washington article earlier today. Got a lot of different responses on social media. We'll get into that next. But first, we got to play you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast. Do apologize if you hear my dogs barking in the background. Don't know what exactly is going on, but they're not happy.
Apparently, Jordan Pope is well-liked by the dog community.
Yeah, it better be something like that. This has become a regular occurrence at the Marlowe household.
Oh, here we go.
Not too fond of.
Well, no, we're diving into domestic issues. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Let's get back into the transfer portal because As we've kind of been talking, man, it doesn't matter how good of a player is at a program and what that player is a part of. You're going to see big-time players into the portal. We talked about it last night with Omar Ballo transferring away from Arizona. Now Jonas Adu, the big man from Tennessee, he's in the portal while also going through the NBA draft process. He's a guy that this year led Tennessee in rebounding at over 7 rebounds per game, scored over 12 points, was named to the SEC All-Defensive Team, and was a second-team All-SEC member as well. Of course, if you've been with us for a long time, we talked about Adu a few summers ago as a potential recruit that could end up in Carolina because, you know, he hails from Durham, North Carolina, played at Liberty Heights Institute, which comes out of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We saw him in person at a high school basketball showcase. I think it's 3 years ago now. He, of course, initially committed to Marquette, decommits, goes to play for Rick Barnes in Tennessee, but now he finds himself in the transfer portal. Carolina not yet officially involved with him, but given all the other big men that they've gotten involved with, you would imagine that they'd at least made contact with Jonas Adu. What do you make of Jonas Adu being in the portal, and is this a guy that Carolina should seriously consider getting involved with despite being involved with, Omar Ballo, Aaron Bradshaw, Clifford Amore, among other big men?
Oh, yes, 100%. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a guy that is more than capable of being the piece that Carolina needs in the middle. We thought this coming out of high school with him. We thought he resembled a lot of what we saw in Armando Bacot. And that was one of the reasons we really liked him. The thing is with him is I think, honestly, from watching him at the end of this year, when we watched him in the tournament and we saw him in person, this dude's a much better player than even when he came out of high school. He was good coming out of high school, but he has taken his game to another level. Now, again, the thing that I like about him and the thing that's important to stress to people is that for a guy like him, he's not going to be your main option. Like, for a long time, people thought of Armando Bacot as Carolina's main option, and he was. He was their best player during the tournament run. I mean, you could argue him or Caleb Love, but during the tournament run in that 2021-22 season, he was at times the guy that controlled everything for Carolina. And that's not necessarily what Jonas Adu has to be, but he's very, very solid. He does a lot of similar things to Armando Bacot. And the thing is he's a better free throw shooter than Omar Ballo. And he's a guy that, I mean, he doesn't shoot the three ball a lot, but he has a little bit more ability there than even some of the other guys. Again, it's very rare that he shoots it from the outside, but it we've seen it before from him, and that could be something that he's looking to work into his game. But I think, you look at the leap that he took this year. I thought he was really solid for Tennessee coming off the bench a year ago. But this year, he jumps to 11.4 a game, 7.3 rebounds per game, and is, extremely efficient from the field. And so I think this is a guy that, Tar Heel fans should be really excited about if they reach out to him. The fact that he was as good as he was defensively, I mean, average 1.8 blocks, and you would imagine that can increase. The other thing about him that I think is really interesting is similar to Ballo, to Amore. He plays even less minutes than those guys do. This is a guy that, as we saw when we watched him with Tennessee all year, he's a guy that you have to have a second big with. So if you're looking for a big that will allow you to keep Jalen Washington in the fold because you think that there are some special things with Jalen Washington still to come, which I'm on that bandwagon as well, then this is the big that, honestly, you should probably be most invested in at this point. because he can contribute things like Aaron Bradshaw. Yeah, that's a guy you bring in, and there's a good chance Jalen Washington starts over him. So that could be the angle that you're looking at. But with Jonas Adu, you're getting a really solid player that you know has a high motor, that's going to want to come in and make an impact, but also a guy that you're going to need to have a second big with in order to be able to piece together the type of big man rotation that's going to win you games.
Yeah, I think the thing is compared to Bala or Morey, how desired would Adu be? Look, I saw him in person. He does a lot of things that stand out to you. First off, his body is very impressive.
Wow,
he's a physical force and plays with a physicality that I think Carolina fans would appreciate. You mentioned his ability to protect the rim, something that Carolina can still find ways to improve on to become an even better defensive team. I still think, I would rather have Bala because I think there's just more offensive talent on that end. I think he's more explosive than Adu. Adu does have he does have a back to the basket game, if you will.
I'm going to tell you, he looked pretty damn explosive in Charlotte. I mean, some of those takes to the rim were pretty impressive for me.
And look, if you put him in Hubert Davis's offense, maybe he reaches another level, a level that he wouldn't reach playing for Rick Barnes. But, this is a guy that, again, if Carolina gets interested in him, and they should, this would be one of the bigger moves that they could have made.
Yes.
Because he's going to, keep you intact defensively, give you a presence on the interior from an offensive rebounding standpoint. He's older, so you're staying experienced. He's played in the SEC. He's played in Elite Eight. Like, he knows what it takes to play, to go on a deep run and play meaningful basketball. So I'd probably have him second behind Bala. I'd probably put him over Amori. The bottom line is this. If Carolina lands either of those three guys, you should A, be very impressed, and you shouldn't be concerned that they missed out. Like, you're getting a quality big man if you go that route.
Well, I think that's interesting too. I mean, so you would rate them Bala, Adu, and Amori, those three.
Yeah.
Because I think we can all say, like, Bradshaw is the fourth. I got to tell you, man, and I like a lot of the things that Bala does. I cannot get past the free throw stuff. That really concerns me a lot about him. We've seen that at times that has led to him not being able to play the type of minutes that you would want a guy that's of that caliber. I don't know, man. I might have him third on my list. Adu might be second. I love me some Amori. I mean, the fact that this dude averaged almost 3 blocks a game, he's still averaging over 10 points a game. He shoots the ball efficiently, can shoot shoot well from the free throw line. I think mine might be Amori 1, Adu 2, Bala 3.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I got Bala first is there's just more offensive potential there. And I feel like I said it last night, with Amori, I think Carolina would still be a championship contender. Depending on, the decisions of an Ingram and a Davis, you really got to fill out with some scoring. To really get to your peak. I think Bala could be a guy that, could establish himself as a second, as the second leading scorer if Davis came back. Even if Ingram came back, I think this could be a guy that's your second leading scorer. Or maybe you have 3 scorers that average, 16 points a game or more or something like that. So that's the only reason why, is that there's just more natural offensive talent, I think, with Bala. Than the other ones. But the other guys do things really, really well too that make it all interesting. This leads us to a conversation that, after last night when we got done, I just felt compelled to write this article about Jalen Washington's future, because there's no secret. Carolina is going to get a big man or they're going to die trying. It's just very evident. You don't get involved with this many high quality bigs if it's not maybe right now the top priority for Hubert Davis and the staff so far in this transfer portal cycle. So I wrote the article. You can go and check it out on HeelToughBlog.com if you'd like. A lot of people responded because the transfer portal is a very hot topic discussion thing.
You don't say. And,
a lot of people were saying that, well, we could go get a big because we could put Jalen Washington in his natural position at the four spot and play two bigs. Look, there was a point in time I thought you had to play with two bigs to win. Because when I got into basketball, that's how you played. You had Deion Thompson, you had Tyler Hansbrough. You had John Henson, you had Tyler Zeller. You had Isaiah Hicks, you had Kennedy Meeks. It led to a lot of success for North Carolina. The game has changed. And look, Hubert Davis talked about it earlier this year when Carolina couldn't rebound to save their life. Maybe we play with two bigs so we can become a better rebounding team. And what he learned the hard way was, A, they didn't really get much better from a rebounding perspective. And B, as good and long as Jalen Washington is, man, he's as slow as Christmas. And all of a sudden, you've got defensive mismatches all over the floor. And so, respectfully, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Wow.
Like, it absolutely makes no sense.
You realize that by saying respectfully and then saying that, that doesn't really mean that you're being respectful. I just want to clear that up for
you. Oh, yeah, no. I was just being respectfully disrespectful.
Okay.
That also
doesn't make sense, but sure.
His natural position isn't a four.
No.
He's a five. And I just don't understand. And look, I know college basketball this year was the year of the big man with Edie, Burns and Klingon all headlining the Final Four.
Yes.
Those guys, look, for those teams, yes, they played an integral part of what they did. And look, State at times, yes, played with two bigs. But how many teams played with two bigs play deep into the tournament? You don't play that way.
It doesn't happen. Who are the teams? Again, list out the teams to me that – have done it in the past few years. I'm going to be honest. Who has won a national championship playing that way or even come close since Carolina did it in 2017? Like, after that, we've seen things change. You're talking about a guy in Jalen Washington who, I mean, look, man, there's some things that he does really well. Offensively, could he – if you were in an extreme pinch and for some reason you had – a bunch of guys that were out hurt that play the stretch four spot, and you needed to play somebody there. Could he probably handle himself well enough offensively to be able to play that position? Yeah, he probably could. But, I mean, the thing to remember is he's a good shooter. He's a good shooter for a five. He's not, I mean, in terms of being a stretch four, like we saw, that's the role that Harrison Ingram played this year. So you think he's going to be able to shoot it as well as Harrison Ingram did at times from beyond the arc this year? No. But the biggest concern would be, how is he going to defend on the perimeter against these guys? How's he defended against a dude that's 6'6 and can knock down 42% from the outside? Are you serious?
And can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. Come on. That's not happening. He struggled against athletic fives to stay in front of him.
He'll be more toast than a toaster strudel.
And, dude, and the thing is like, people are saying it's his natural position. Did you watch him play in high school? How is that his natural position? He played five in high school. He was a big man. So, like, look, man, I want to see the kid stay at Carolina, too. Trust me. And if he leaves, there's going to be no hard feelings for me, because I know that he's looking for a situation where he can go and be the guy. But you cannot put him as a four and expect him to play the way that Harrison Ingram does And you can't try to play with two bigs, because that also creates the logjam of, okay, let's say that Harrison Ingram comes back. Then you're telling Harrison Ingram that you're our three. I mean, I got to be honest. Is he a good enough shooter to handle being your wing guy? Like, is he knocking down the shots that Cormac Ryan was able to knock down this year? Like, that's a lot on his plate as an offensive player. So, I don't know, man. That, to me, that's a wild suggestion. And the thing is, I saw a lot of different people and a lot of fans that I've seen for years that have read our stuff, that have commented on our stuff, that know their stuff, that were saying this with a lot of conviction. And I was just left scratching my head because I don't see that at all for Jalen Washington.
Yeah, no, look, that's not on the table. Because, I mean, defensively, it would be a nightmare situation.
Oh, my God, you'd be like Alabama. Like, he better – I'm going to tell you right now, he better shoot the lights out from the outside if you're putting him on the floor for that, because the defensive drop-off would be massive.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm in the Jalen Washington camp, man. Like, that's been a guy that, since he got on campus, I've rooted for. And I think, you know, he could do some big-time things. And I think, depending on how Carolina goes about it, there's an avenue – for him to stay in Chapel Hill, no matter what big man ends up in Chapel Hill. But let's not just start talking wacko just to try to make a way for this guy to stay a part of the program. Because, as you're right, man, this thing about Carolina fans, man, is they're knowledgeable. And, look, if the game was 2014, no one would argue that, because you were playing three around two. And we're playing four around one. You're playing five out now. You can't defend that if you've got two bigs on the court at the same time. Before we get out of here, my show document tells me to toss to Anthony for other portal notes. So with that, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that I noticed just from looking on the 24/7 transfer portal rankings here today that I thought were really interesting. Talking about some of the guys that we talked about last night. First of all, Umar Ballo, top player in the transfer portal at this point. Carolina hoping to get a visit. But Travis Branham, who is really the top guy when it comes to all of this stuff in the portal for 24/7 Sports, he put in a prediction today for him to land at Indiana. That is very interesting for multiple reasons. But the main reason is that, if I'm remembering his official visit or his visit schedule correctly, that is the first school that he will visit. And if they are the first school, or even if they're the second school, if he goes there and sees what he needs to see after seeing this prediction cast, it seems really difficult that he wouldn't leave there with the commitment. So I found that to be really, really interesting. Another thing that's interesting is another big man. Now, this is one that Carolina has been linked to by some of the message boards. I've seen some people bring his name up when they've talked about, you know, last night when they were talking about all the guys that Carolina has been involved with in terms of the big men. Maxime Renaud is doing what a lot of us thought he would end up doing. We had heard this rumor for the last few days. He is returning to Stanford. He pulled his name out of the transfer portal. He committed there today. So he is coming back to Stanford. That means he is off the table, meaning Carolina, if they were interested in him, they are not going to be able to get him, and we'll have to look at the other options. Probably a big reason why looking at Jonas Adu, as we talked about earlier, probably wouldn't be a bad idea. And the last one, actually, you know what? I'll give you another one too here that I'll be interested to see. And I think we could talk about this here at the end. Robbie Avila is in the transfer portal. If people are wondering who that is, that would be the man many people like to call Larry Blurd, Skim Duncan, Milk Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One of the more interesting players in the transfer portal right now. Now, some people believe that he will follow his head coach to St. Louis because that is where he took a job just a few days ago. But That's certainly a guy that could be interesting for Carolina and would bring a lot of recognition that Carolina really, I mean, they already have, but that would just, I mean, that would make them one of the most likable teams in all of college basketball for this upcoming season. And then the last note, one that I think we will probably be talking about here at some point. I'd be pretty shocked considering that Carolina has reached out to one really great three-point shooter, Rylan Griffin, the wing from Alabama, entered the transfer portal today. That is a guy that, as we found out in that Sweet 16 game, can really shoot the basketball. Certainly a guy that I think Carolina will take a look at and at least see if he is interested. This past year, shot the ball from three at a 39.2% clip while scoring 11.2 points per game. So a couple of interesting things that I was able to note there looking through on 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, no, Griffin makes a lot of sense. I would expect Carolina gets involved with him. As for Robbie Avila, fun player. Great story. Not an ACC player. Go to St. Louis. Have some fun. We'll be cheering for you. Your team should have been in the tournament by evidence of what they did in the NIT. With that, that is going to wrap up this edition of the show, guys. Before we let you go, we do encourage you to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com, where you can go and read about that article I was referencing about Jalen Washington's future and how Carolina's interest in the big man impacts him. We also got the breakdown of Jordan Pope and what, you know, just some more background information on him and what he could potentially bring to Chapel Hill. So we've been telling you guys, we want you to visit the website every single day for the latest Carolina basketball coverage. We'll have you cover Tar Heel football-wise as well. We're a week away from the spring game. They've got their practice on TV tomorrow. We'll have all that broken down for you. We'll be doing some stuff with the NFL draft as well. So we want you to make us your home for the latest and the best Tar Heel coverage. So visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.